I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, we welcome back. It is Overtime. Craig Hoffman will join us later on this hour. We're with you until 10. Earl will be back in with us in just a second. Thanks to him for the top of the hour update. I want to clear out some of these calls that you guys have been hanging on and making. I appreciate you guys hanging with us. We went a little bit longer with this than I was expecting. We will certainly get into the Redskins as the Redskins get ready for the Philadelphia Eagles this Sunday. Start thinking about this question that I'm going to throw out to you now. And then get Earl's opinion on this as we get into it in just a little bit. Are you reasonably confident about this Sunday, or do you believe they have very little chance? Reasonably confident or very little chance to win, to compete? You take it however you want to go. We'll get Earl's spin on that, give my spin on that, and we'll get your spin on that as well at 800-636-1067. Let's quickly get back to the calls and wrap this conversation up. We'll get to Tyrone in a sec, but first, Nick in Silver Spring. Nick, you're on Overtime on the Fan.
Hi, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for being
here. I just wanted to say that I don't think it's peculiar to the sports fans here. I think it's peculiar to the narrative that we've seen here. And so we've seen this before in that the Caps have suffered heartbreaking losses in the playoffs. Same thing with the Nats. We even lost with Justin Williams, Mr. Game 7. The following season, this time of the year, roughly equivalent to hockey, yeah, there were sellouts, but there were empty seats in the Caps Arena.
Yes.
And now we're sort of seeing the same thing. I went on Sunday. I need playoff success to really get excited. I'm excited because they're so hot.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I did right before the Caps won the Stanley Cup. Lo and behold, Cubs win the Stanley Cup. Hopefully the same thing is true here.
I do agree with that, Nick, that there is a certain malaise about even regular season success. And I think that's a problem in a lot of sports towns, not just this one. I've seen it in New York. I've seen it, you know, in all sorts of places, right, where teams are, you know, smaller markets, Minnesota. They win, hit home runs left and right, and nobody goes to the games. And, you know, Atlanta, surprisingly, is drawing really well at 32,000 per game. Now, they won the division last year. They've got, obviously, a new ballpark, and they've got a lot of disposable income where they built that ballpark, which was smart of them. You know, so there's all sorts of different reasons why we can point to, but I think in general, you're right. If this team, that's why I said earlier, if this team wins a playoff game, say the wild card game, and somehow beats the Dodgers or the Braves in the first round, NLDS, best of five, somehow finds a way to win a game five instead of constantly blowing it, whether it's at home or on the road, I do think people will not only be jacked up for October, but people will be jacked up next April and May as well. So, you know, we'll have to kind of see how that plays out. Nick, thank you very much for the call. Good call.
The sort of general malaise that only the genius possess in the insane lament.
What the hell
Dr. Evil
mean?
Speech, you don't know?
No, I'm out on that.
Boy, you
Sorry.
Out of touch. And at the risk of, you know, infuriating the Twitter tough guys, and obviously those who know more about my business than I do, that was the point I was trying to make and got completely sidetracked. Last segment, shocking on that. That it's just it's not just plainly simply about winning, but it does help, and it's sports. The bottom line is, people want to see their teams
yes.
win championships and have fun. Look, this whole thing, and I know you know you kind of gotten tired of the baby shark and all that.
Yeah.
If they were going 500 when all that was going on, would that be so much fun? No. Part of it is they're, you know, nearly 20
yeah.
games over 500.
Would you agree
now.
That
they turned
is
it from 12 games under, like 30 games, complete turnaround? That's why it's fun. Baby Shark and everything's cute, and I enjoy it. I like it. And the fact that it annoys people, I like it even more because I enjoy, and especially because when it annoys the right people, it's a lot more fun.
Right.
And I think it annoys a lot of fan bases.
I'm not annoyed by Baby Shark.
Snobbish fan bases who think they printed the book on baseball, not Abner Doubleday.
Yeah, I don't see them doing that at Wrigley Field, but they do the seventh inning stretch at Wrigley Field. I mean, so every ballpark, every city, every regionality has something unique.
Stupid
and
celebrities
quirky.
Sing "Take Me Out to the Ball Game." Yeah, that's really cute.
Let's get to original Tyrone.
No, it's all about that, and it's true that if it's all about the playoffs now, this team, we've seen this story multiple times before. I know not a large history, but get to the playoffs, great team, lose. Get to the playoffs, great team, win the division by 20 games, lose.
Right. They need to do something in October.
And this is what I was saying a few weeks ago, that maybe in this scenario.
Hang tight, Tyrone.
In this scenario, the play-in game, which I'll call it, it's a wild card game, maybe that's good. It's one game, and I know it's just as easy to lose as to win, but maybe that's the one that gets you over the hump. Win that one. Suddenly, I know it's one game, but there's success. There's finally some success in the, quote, postseason. You go on the road. Fine. Go to L.A. Fine. Start on the road. Leave the pressure of playing in D.C. when everybody, like in Caps games in years past before the Stanley Cup, everybody's just waiting for the bad goal, waiting for the crazy turnover, waiting for some stupid penalty call, waiting for something bad to happen. And, you know, let's face it. Since that Cardinals series, the way things turned around after the Worth home run the next game, when it looked like they were going to cruise the win and they get shell-shocked, they've never recovered from that. The team has, while most of the players now are different, the team has never recovered, and the fan base has never recovered from that. That one game.
I think the fan base has recovered, but they have been let down time and time and time
again. Then they haven't recovered. Just how many times are you going to get kicked?
Well, they haven't had.
Say,
no, they haven't had satisfaction.
They
recovered, but then they were kicked down again the steps again. That's the problem.
So they've never recovered from that loss because
they've never achieved success.
Right, but that was it. That was the Magic team. That was 2012. That was a young Bryce Harper. That was worth everything. Was there? The Magic was there, and if they win that game, who knows what happens? If that run continues. Maybe that's the one, like it's happened a couple times with the Marlins, who are just a pathetic team except for like two World Series.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
And that's just
fair.
Like the Atlanta Falcons, have never recovered from the final two quarters against the Patriots. They still, as a franchise, and I'm sure as a fan base, have not recovered from that. The Nats, I disagree with you there that, they recovered, but they're, they've been beaten up again. Yeah, well, that's part of it. That was the whole downward spiral to this, play great, win a bunch of games, losing the playoffs. And for some of us, that's not good enough. We want to see wins in the playoffs. We want to see the rings and the parades and everything else.
I would agree that there is different levels to winning. The notion that you just win and win unimpressively and win in the regular season, there is different levels in today's society to winning. We got to take a timeout. We're going to get into the Redskins. Craig Hoffman will join us after the bottom of the hour. Along with Earl Forsey, I'm Chris Russell. This is Overtime on 106.7 The Fan and Radio.com. All right, so Craig Hoffman will join us in about 13, 14 minutes or so. So we've got to be kind of on time here. So we have a little more time with Hoffman, who is out at Redskins Park today to get the very latest from Jay Gruden. Earl's had some of that Jay Gruden sound for you in the Sports Flashes top and bottom of the hour. Earl, you and I have not had a chance to talk about this football team in a little while. I'm going to ask you the same question I teased the audience with at the top of the hour. I think I know your answer, but I want you to give it to me, and I want you to give it to me I want you to tell it to me, and I want you to tell me why. Let me rephrase that.
I want to hear what you think my answer is, but go ahead.
Are you reasonably confident, or do you feel the Redskins have very little chance, like most, I think, of America, certainly all of the national media? And many people, I'm sure, in this area will say they have, again, no chance to very little chance. Are you reasonably confident Sunday, or are you in the closer to the no chance, little chance category?
Okay, let me just say first, don't listen to the national media.
I would agree with that. The national media is a bunch of idiots.
So-called experts.
Yeah. The national media truly does not know anything. I hear guests on our station all the time, and I'm like, these people don't know anything. They
listened to something the other day coming back.
Yeah.
on a little bit of a long jaunt and was wondering the same thing from some supposed NFL experts asked about the Trent Williams situation and stuff. No. So, yeah, because everybody, and there are a lot of ulterior motives with wishing the Redskins ill as a franchise. Fine. Now, from a person who is way more than reasonably confident about everything, that's me, I wouldn't say confident. I would say just because of the new season, because of the unknowns, which is maybe part of the problem, but I'm confident is a bad word. Optimistic would be a better word, just to see what it all looks like.
Kind of the way you draw a distinction between confident and optimism.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There's no doubt.
That's fine.
Enthusiastic, maybe, just because it's a new season. Now, you're right. Now, the chances are, if Philadelphia is as good a team as everybody thinks they are, the Redskins could march up there and forget about 10-point spread. They could get beat by 20 easily. I mean, they could run into a buzzsaw. Week one, and I tweeted this out last week after things were done. We got to Sunday, and I mentioned on Twitter, at Earl Forsey, unless, you know, you want to tell me how to do my job, it's at Earl Forsey.
Bitter,
other than that,
Bitter Earl is
and
the
I
best.
Don't block, I don't do anything, I just completely ignore those who don't know as much as I do, which is was basically
Gen Pop. Which is 99.9%, you know what I'm saying, man?
So the situation with the Redskins going up there, yeah, it's a tough ask, but Philadelphia's made some changes, too. Who knows how this running back situation is going to work out for them? I know it's a good defense, but guess what? The Redskins could be bringing, we don't know yet, but potentially be bringing a really good defense up to Philly with them.
There are holes to expose on that defense. Yep. First of all, I listen, they have a terrific defensive line and a terrific pass rush, and they have body up after body after body, and eventually I think they'll wear down, especially that left side of the Redskins offensive line. But, Earl, I'm telling you, their linebackers, like the Redskins are going to, I think the Redskins are going to pick on Zach Brown all day because they know Zach Brown better than anybody. They know how weak he is in space. I think they'll run picks and crossers and all sorts of stuff designed
and
to attack.
Maybe some issues with their secondary.
Zach Brown. And on top of that, they are very thin at corner. They only have four corners on the entire active roster. Now, Avante Maddox is a really, 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 really good player. But he's still a young player, and year two could be different than year one when the league didn't have as much tape on him and maybe they were able to find out some tendencies. But Avante Maddox is just one guy. Sidney Jones is still kind of finding his way, and Ronald Darby is a terrific corner, but he's coming off of a torn ACL, and he's not 100%. So the point being is there are going to be opportunities for the Redskins to attack this Philadelphia defense, and I think if the Redskins execute well, and what is executing well? That means not getting completely ambushed by the pass rush. That means not holding every other, you know, every series and setting yourself in first and 20, second and 18. If that means converting on a couple of third downs, hopefully Jordan Reed is there. All of the little not shooting your foot inside the red zone. These are a lot of ifs and a lot of things that they have to do. But believe it or not, Earl, I am reasonably confident that they will have a chance to win this game in the fourth quarter.
I'm cautiously optimistic that they'll be competitive. I mean, and that's, and I'm not one of these people that sit here and think a 7-9 season's great, what they've had the last couple of years. No, it's not. And I'm not also part of the tank club that wants them to trade every good player they have for number one draft picks or whatever it is and build for the future. No, you know why? I might not be around in the future. A lot of those guys might not be either. That's all great to say if you're a fan base, but please tell me when that's worked in the NFL. When? No, never. Never. Yeah. Maybe, possibly, NBA, stuff like that's totally different from the NFL.
Yeah.
And any, even the college level, it's not so much rebuild, reload. They've had a bad situation. You know, part of it's self-inflicted with quarterback, and that's, in the end, you're right about in the left side of the offensive line. We'll see. And maybe Trent Williams comes back next week. Maybe he rides in, you know, on the white horse to save the day. That's a big issue against a team that has wreaked havoc on the Redskins when they're right with the pass rush.
Yeah.
Now what are you going to do? And I'm not really so concerned about Donald Penn. It's Ereck Flowers. But if you find some way to handle that, and we just don't know about Case Keenum. I like what I'm hearing. I like the guy. There are a lot of mans there today. I don't know if you heard some of the press conference. There was a lot of, hey, man, like I pointed out on Twitter, like two right. in the first minute and a half.
Right.
So the Jay influence kicking in already. But we don't know. But here's the other thing we don't know. Who is Darius Geis? Is he Saquon Barkley or is he a Jag? Now, I don't think
he's Saquon Barkley, but I don't think he's a Jag. I think it's somewhere in between. You know what's interesting?
Russell, there were some people 2 years ago before he got hurt, before that year, that thought, is Saquon Barkley as good as Darius Geis before the draft?
I think they were crazy.
Okay.
Because there's no – I mean, Darius Geis can be a good receiver. There's no chance he will ever – I mean, at Penn State or with the Giants last year,
okay,
no chance he will ever be the kind of receiver that Saquon Barkley is.
But can he have the impact? Can he have – and I know Saquon Barkley didn't lead to a lot of wins
right.
last year, but that's a guy you've got to account for every time he's on the field. Is Darius Geis, does he add that kind of home run threat? Does he add that kind of dimension that the Redskins have not had in the backfield on offense for forever?
Yeah, because Adrian Peterson gave it to them in a couple of bunches
bursts.
Last year.
Very
bursts
small bursts.
At the end of the Giants game at MetLife Stadium to win that game, 64-yard touchdown, the 90-yard touchdown run up, the gut breaking a tackle about 10 yards north of the line of scrimmage on Monday Night Football in early December. He did run pretty well against Tennessee, but overall, Adrian Peterson was a little up, little down, little up, little down. Certainly their losses, he was almost invisible at times. And a lot of their wins, he was a key linchpin. The bottom line is there's no doubt that they're better this year
and
in the backfield with Darius Geis.
We have not seen, again, not much of Trey Quinn at all.
Well, he's got to stay healthy. How about Paul Richardson? Paul Richardson with the quad. I don't know what he was officially listed on
still,
the injury report.
Yeah, not playing at all.
Yeah.
And he's the guy that's got the experience.
Yeah,
out of all the receivers, what was the number? 57 total
right.
starts?
He doesn't have
51
to stay
of them are
healthy.
Richardson.
He has to get healthy. That's his biggest
And we
problem.
Never saw what he brought, right. what dimension.
We saw one example.
That Jay Gruden was hoping he would bring last year. We haven't seen that yet.
We saw one example of
so
it against
there's
Green Bay.
So many unknowns. And then you've got DeSean Jackson.
Right.
And still questions in the Redskins secondary. So there's so much. But week one, what I said on Twitter is week one tells us basically, it exposes everything we thought we knew about the NFL were wrong about. Complete 180. And then week two is exactly the opposite.
Yeah,
again.
Because teams
That's
go
what
to
happens
work
in the NFL.
And isolate their weaknesses. All right, we'll get more into the Redskins and Eagles. Craig Hoffman was at Redskins Park today. He'll join us in just a couple of minutes on the other side of an Earl Forsey bottom of the hour sports flash. We'll do that right here, right now with the Duke of Earl Forsey. He's got the latest sports flash, and then Hoffman on the other side right here, 106.7 The Fan and the Radio.com app.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, we welcome you back. On a Wednesday night, a little rainy out there. Be safe. By the way, all of our Nationals conversation over the hour and a half plus that we did, forgot to mention this, Nationals race for Red October. On the Fan, brought to you by PVI, office furniture, fast, excellent, affordable, business grows with PVI. Visit their showroom in Frederick, Maryland, or online at PVI.com today. Yes, that's correct, PVI.com. Meanwhile, Craig Hoffman is with us now on the Hoffrex on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. He is driven by the summer sales event at Lindsay Ford and LindsayFord.com. And we say hello to Mr. Hoffman, who is out at Redskins Park today for week one of the Eagles and the Redskins as the official game planning part and real stuff got down to business today. Mr. Hoffman, how are you, sir?
I am well. And what's official about it?
Well, it's a Wednesday.
Like it's a regular game week, but they've been game planning for the Eagles.
No, I understand that. But I mean, Sunday and Monday were kind of like extra bonus practices.
Yeah.
And
I guess
obviously,
if we're going to use the word official, can I get like a parade or something?
Well, sure. I mean, would you like us to throw you a parade or?
That sounds lovely. Okay. If I'm going to have a parade, no offense, I think I'd rather have some different planners.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
How many parades have you planned?
None.
Exactly.
Okay. I can still get it done, though. I have magical powers.
Right.
Anyway, so this is
sidetrack.
This is incredibly awkward. All right, so so let's start with the Darius Geis, Adrian Peterson situation. I remember you were very upset at people about this because you were getting a lot of heat. You were absolutely right. Darius Geis was going to be the starter. I think you said that in March and April, and I certainly agreed with you back then, but this was, you know, this was your plight. You were right. Jay Gruden going with that. A, your reaction to that, which I assume is positive, and B, how maybe I'll put you in a bad spot here. Was Adrian Peterson really in any danger of being cut?
Let me answer the second part first. I don't know definitively that he wasn't, but like it never came up in the big personnel meeting. Like when they were talking on Saturday and going through cuts, it was never brought up. Could it have been brought up privately? Mm-hmm. Maybe. That would have been like a Jay Bruce kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, we're going to do this. But it never made it to the point that they were seriously considering it with all the other coaches, with the other personnel people. As far as I know, from what I was able to gather from people who were in those meetings. So that's what I know about the AP thing and what the junkies heard. And, I never heard that that was the case. And as far as I know, that was never under consideration. While I understand the nervousness of another New Orleans situation, in New Orleans, he wasn't playing at all. Here, he will absolutely be playing. He will be getting some carries. He'll have his role. And, you know, I also think it's a little bit different. I think his approach is a little bit different this time around. All of them have been super complimentary of how they've all interacted. There seems to be pride in the room. I'd have to go back. Actually, I have a friend who covers the Saints. I'm going to ask and see what was said around those times, but I don't feel like it was as harmonious there as it is here. So that would be that part of it. If I was a smaller person, I'd go on some kind of, you know, here we go, parade about being right on this. But it was like, it just was common sense. Like, I just couldn't believe that people – in the spring, I mean, and this all started kind of in an argument between me and JP Finley when we did a show during March Madness together in for Chad. And we were naming our 20 most important Redskins in 2019. And he had AP in front of Geis. And I just went, what? Why? How can you possibly have AP in front of Geis? Geis is the starter.
Right.
He's going to play more. And at that point, basically, the explanation was Darius is recovery has had some hiccups and we don't know if he's going to be ready, and AP is going to be really important to them early, and you know, all that kind of stuff. And obviously Darius's hiccups were a little less significant than we all thought, and he's ready to go full bore as I thought he was going to be all along. So in that way, I just kind of guessed right on the injury. But also, I do think there was a large group of people in the fan base, and it's fine, don't say there's like any negativity. As a fan, you don't have inside access to information like I do because it's my job. I'd hope I know more. If not, then you should have my job. So I knew how they felt about Geis in the building. Like, I ran that by someone, and someone was like, yeah, Geis is our guy. Like, he's going to – everything's going to run through him. So at that point, it was pretty easy to make that declaration.
Right.
And it was just a matter of time until I was right. Which the matter of time had to be filled in with Darius continuing to heal properly, and obviously that happened.
Right, just a matter of health.
Well, I tell you what is official about this week. Craig, we have an injury report officially now, and Jordan Reed's on it. So he was asked about Jay was today, and you put out video. Jordan Reed was on the field doing some individual work, apparently with the new helmet. So fill us in on what the situation is, what's up with that.
So the concussion protocol is a long, drawn-out process that is annoying in how it winds up playing out. He could have been symptom-free for a couple of days now, and he's still technically in the protocol because what it involves, and it's annoying, but it's also necessary. So I don't want to say, like, this is a bad thing that the NFL is doing. I don't know enough to have a better process, but Jordan was allowed to do individual work today. And then what happens is tomorrow, if he wakes up symptom-free, obviously if he had, you know, all of a sudden his head started hurting or his vision was blurry or some kind of concussion symptom came during that work, they pull him and you try again tomorrow or next time he's symptom-free. But he made it through the practice, he's symptom-free, he's good. So tomorrow they elevate it. Now he can participate in team drills and they up his activity levels a little bit. And as long as he continues to stay symptom-free, then he can go undergo some kind of cognitive testing, and that's kind of the final clearance. So in terms of him still being in the protocol and only going through individual and all that kind of stuff, I don't see that as any kind of negative towards him playing Sunday. I think he's still on track to play Sunday. Jay's never going to say that because you just don't know with a concussion. Jordan could very well wake up tomorrow morning with a headache, and all of a sudden he's calling the doctor right, saying, like, hey, I got a headache.
Yeah, that happened in 2013 before you got here, Craig. I mean, they would game plan for him all week and have him be a big part of the end. You know, wake up on a Sunday morning or a Saturday night and just be, I mean, nauseous and headaches and all that stuff. So that very much can happen.
And so, and it's someone who's had a concussion, like, they suck. They go and all of a sudden you, like, look at a screen for too long and all of a sudden your head's spinning. It's terrible. We'll see how he is tomorrow, and hopefully he ramps up and is good to go. But he had some pretty extensive workout work on Monday, I think. I mean, he came into the locker room dripping in sweat. So he clearly had some kind of physical exertion with an elevated heart rate, and that's one of the things you have to do.
Sure.
How does your brain react to an elevated heart rate? He seemed to be fine. They've obviously put him through more workouts today and was out there doing football stuff, and then tomorrow they'll elevate, and on track so far to play on Sunday.
Fabian Moreau doesn't look like he's going to be able to go. He's limited today, but Jay kind of, sort of doesn't expect him to play.
I would expect Jay to be much more coy on Wednesdays this year.
Right.
Something he was talked to about. Hey, can you not give out the guys are going to be out on Wednesday?
I understand that, but my question is it absolutely Jimmy Moreland in the slot, or do they go more with the veteran guy in DRC, who I guess was in some trouble of not making the roster at some point?
Well, so DRC and Stroman were both kind of on the, hey, if we can find someone better,
right,
then maybe. But, I mean, there's 1,000 guys that get cut. A lot of them are kind of the same level, and you'd rather at that point have the guys who know your system. Plus, they've really liked having DRC around. This is not like Orlando Skandrick last year, who was a pain in the butt for them. DRC has been a veteran presence who has been really good for the young guys. He's great with Landon Collins. Like, you don't want to necessarily upset Landon by letting him go. Obviously, there's a little bit of a fear if he's not playing. Like, does the same thing happen that happened last year in Oakland? But even then, he just kind of walked away. It wasn't like he dragged everybody down. He just kind of was like, this whole situation sucks, and I'm not playing. What's the point in me spending all this time here? So there's a little bit of a fear of that, but he seems to be in a different place mentally with this situation. So all that to say, I don't know if it would be DRC. Stroman keeps getting brought up by Jay, or Moreland, but I think it's Moreland. Like, Moreland was the next guy in all camp. And any day that Moreau got hurt, or that Dunbar or Josh Norman got a rest day, I don't even know if Jano got one, but Dunbar at one point got a rest day, and, you know, so that moves Moreau outside and then Moreland into the slot, or sometimes they'd even move Moreland outside on those days and leave Fabian in the slot. So Jimmy has been the next corner up for a long time. So I'd assume it's going to be him. And if I'm Fabian, I am nervous as hell that I'm going to get Wally pipped, because I think Jimmy's just a flat-out better player, and he's going to make a play of some kind that's going to make him hard to put back in, you know, put the toothpaste back in the tube on that one.
Yeah, trying to put the genie back in the bottle, and they've been raving about him.
That's a much better analogy, because genies are much closer to humans.
Love that show, I Dream of Genie. You're too young for it, but I love it.
Way too, you have no idea what you're talking about.
Barbara Eden, I mean, you can't, it was must-see TV, even on reruns. The other guy that Jay's been raving about on defense, and we're going to see the old linebackers in Philly now, but you know, the addition that they made, and with John Bostic coming in, and he's kind of stepped right in, and another guy that's from the start drawing rave reviews anytime anybody brings him up. How big a factor is that going to be on that defense?
It's huge, because John's really fast, and having linebackers that have speed and can cover is an enormous difference than the last year, when Mason lacked the speed and Zach Brown lacked the coverage. Like, Zach could run with anybody and can run with anybody almost in the whole league, but it doesn't help when you're running the wrong direction or not at the right angle.
He lacked the instincts, the awareness, or the knowledge of
and
where
Bostic's
he's supposed to be.
Crazy smart, super athletic. Not that necessarily you're going to all of a sudden be magically successful against Zach Ertz, but against Zach Ertz, you got to have that kind of versatility. You have to be comfortable in space, because I was talking to John about this a little bit today. It's not just when he lines up as a tight end on the line of scrimmage and the stuff he can do from there. It's Is he in the backfield as an H-back and then all of a sudden leaking out? Is he split out wide? Is he split in the slot? So they find ways to get the matchups they want in space on the route concepts they want. And so you have to be really, really knowledgeable and understanding about what you can do. And then you also have to be able to play your run responsibilities too and get downhill and tackle well. Because let's say they all of a sudden split Zach Ertz out wide and you've decided, like, okay, if he goes out wide, we're sending a linebacker with him. Well, now it's helpful to have Landon Collins because he can come up in the box. And, you know, sometimes teams will do that. Hey, let's get a linebacker out, have a light box, and then run it. Okay, well, your light box with Landon Collins isn't exactly a light box. Right. Not to mention Cole Holcomb at the other linebacker spot can come up and fill, and or Sean Deion Hamilton. Like, those guys have a huge responsibility in that situation too, the guy that's not on Ertz to figure out and organize the defense and all that kind of stuff. So, and I don't know, Holcomb, I think might be the starting Mo linebacker. That's something that we probably should ask or just wait till Sunday and we'll figure it out. But whoever
Holcomb
opposite,
would start over Deion Hamilton,
I think that's a possibility.
Well,
yeah.
How about that? They like him that much. Huh?
Speed, baby.
Yeah, I know. I mean, but
fast, he's smart. He works well with Bostic. There's
all right.
I think that I think when Sean Deion got hurt, now that, you know, I think I'm not 100% sure on that. I saw, because obviously we don't get to see team anymore,
yeah,
but
fine.
Like when
it's
they
good,
do some
it's a
of
good
those.
So
nugget,
how many
though?
New starters are we talking about? McLaurin, Geis, Hen.
So you got the entire left
Flowers.
Side of the offensive line. You have
that's
McLaurin
four in offense.
And Quinn.
Right. Oh, and
are
Keenum, five.
Keenum, Geis. And then defensively, both linebackers, because even Sean Deion would be a new starter.
Landon Collins.
Landon Collins.
So now we're at eight.
Dunbar was there last year as a starter, so your corners are the same.
Still a lot. That's eight.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I'm excited about this defense. I mean, defense can be really good.
I am too. Everyone keeps asking, the Redskins, like, how are the Eagles 10-point favorites? Yeah. Should the Eagles be 10-point favorites?
No.
You know, what's
the answer is no.
What's, you know, what do you think about them for the season? I'm like, I think their defense is actually really good.
Yeah.
I'm nervous about Sunday. I don't know, you know, should they be favored by 10? Probably not. NFL games don't get decided by 10 points very often. But, like, the Eagles present some really unique challenges. They're really good. And Philly's been a house of horrors, and the king of the horrors for the Redskins has been Carson Wentz.
Yeah, no, you're right.
So the matchup, what I'm actually scared of is going on, let's say, the Junkies first thing Monday morning after the Eagles house the Redskins, and they're going, oh, the season's over, and having to go, wait, pump the brakes. I promise you it's not this bad.
Yeah.
So I would say to any fan listening that's going to watch on Sunday, not that it's going to go poorly, but if it does, don't give up hope on the season because they lost to a really good football team in a place that's really tough to play against a quarterback who, for whatever reason, seems to have their number.
They may lose. I don't think they get blown out. I think they're right in there with a chance to win in the fourth quarter. We'll see what happens. Craig Hoffman with us on the Hofrex on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. He is driven by the summer sales event at Lindsay Ford and lindsayford.com. 0% financing up to 130% of KBB for trades and no payments till fall. You'll love it at Lindsay, lindsayford.com. At Craig Hoffman, thefandc.com. He'll be at Redskins Park on Thursday and Friday in Philadelphia on Sunday. Hoffman, I'll talk to you either Saturday or definitely Sunday. Appreciate your time as always.
I'll talk to you Sunday morning, Craig, right now.
Indeed. Early. A tradition unlike any other.
There you go. Second only to the Masters, Earl Forsey. On countdown,
I would say second.
You would say you top the Masters.
Get to the, of course.
Okay.
Get to the Dilly in Philly.
8 a.m. for countdown to kickoff.
Yes,
Earl Forsey, then the Junks.
Five hours of pregame coverage.
Cakes and JP at Glory Days Grill in Burke, Virginia.
I'm not allowed out. I have to be in studio.
Yeah, neither am I. I have to be in studio as well.
You know what? After tonight, maybe that's a good thing, Rooster.
Exactly.
Maybe there's a reason.
I will be on after the Nats and Braves game for Washington Game Day Uncensored, leading up until Sunday Night Football.
Well, that could be a really fun weekend, or it could be a really downer of an ugly weekend.
I think it'll be a better weekend than most people think. All right. We got to take a timeout, come back with a couple of X factors I want to get into. Plus, we ask you, again, are you reasonably confident or are you gloom and doom? Are you reasonably confident or not feeling it at all for this Sunday, just this Sunday, in the Filthy on the Fan? All right, we're wrapping up this hour. Just a couple of minutes to go, and then we'll have a full hour ahead of
overtime.
I think
this one's meant for me.
On a Wednesday night, this song?
Yeah, Crazy Train.
Yeah. Pretty much.
I think Sean's trying to tell me something.
A little bit he is.
I did hear from Gordon. We were talking about tearing down football teams.
Right.
And that every, you know, my point was everybody wants the Redskins just tap out and tear it down and get a bunch of picks and build up. And I was just not thinking, right, because there's one glaring example. So Gordon reached out when I said, has anybody ever done it? And he's like, never. Dallas Cowboys did pretty well trading draft picks, and I had to say that was right. It was spur of the moment.
Are we talking about the Herschel Walker trade?
Yeah, the Herschel Walker trade teardown.
Sure.
But do you know that was 1989? That trade 30 years ago. So it can happen, but not very often. Matter of fact, that trade just means we're old. Experienced. Not the
like a fine
what was
line.
What was the tweet we got? old what guy radio? No, that's another station, and that show is no longer on. And if you're looking for that,
that's funny. That's funny.
Anyway,
I love Fired Up Earl. I love it.
All right, it's only a matter of opinion, but the Herschel Walker trade. I want to make one point on that because I did point out to Gordon as well.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that trade was one of the first-round picks they had, 1990, Jimmy Johnson had his eye on Blair Thomas. Wanted to draft him out of Penn State, was snapped up with a number two pick. So
that was a good non-pick.
At number 17, they had to settle for Emmitt Smith instead. So sometimes things just kind of work out.
Not bad. All right, before we get the top of the hour, and we got to go quick here, again, you kind of gave me the answer I think that I was looking for. You're reasonably confident.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's so many unknowns, but I'm with you, and I think Craig is, that they've got a chance if you can play defense. They're putting, you know, 11 guys on the field, and you know what some other unknowns are? I know there's great receivers, DeSean Jackson, and they've got Alshon Jeffrey on the other side, great tight end. Carson Wentz, he's proven to be not very durable. Last couple of years, and I know it's only week one, but you know what you do? Get the House of Pain on him. Get the Alabama wall. Get some linebacker pressure. Unleash Montez Sweat and Ryan Kerrigan. Guess what? Hit Carson Wentz and hit him a lot. See what happens.
I mean,
Try to at least.
Listen, I think you have to because the guy can't stay healthy or hasn't been able to stay healthy. And even though they've got a pretty good offensive line, the Redskins have a pretty damn good pass rush between Allen, Ioannidis. Deron Payne can collapse the pocket. I think they're going to twist the inside linebackers a bunch, whether it's Cole Holcomb starting, as Craig kind of maybe guessed, alluded to. Maybe he's got a little inside information tip on that. Seems like maybe, possibly. Or if it's Sean Dion Hamilton and John Bostic, whoever it is, I think they're going to be very aggressive twisting and stunting and double A-gap blitzing because Rob Ryan, that is his modus operandi. Remember, he is the new inside
linebackers coach. Seeing Rob Ryan on the sideline. That's going to be the highlight of Sunday.
They've got more speed. I think they're going to blitz Landon Collins up the A-gap or off the edge once or two times. Maybe three times you'll see different pressure packages and looks. I'm excited about this defense, even on Sunday, against a very, very, very good Eagles offense. And if you're going to get Carson Wentz, I think you're better off getting him now than you are in mid-October. That's just me. Obviously, they got to play him a second time, assuming he's healthy. And remember, they don't have Nick Foles anymore.
Nope, All right, we'll take Nick.
Time out for the top of the hour. Earl's got the latest sports flash. We will come back, knock down your calls on the Redskins and more. We will talk to Craig Heist at 9:30 as well on the Nationals and maybe a little bit more than that. All on the Fan. Stay tuned.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.